Amen. Well, it's good to have you back. Good to be back with you again. And it's good to have Mike back. We prayed for you, brother. It's good to see you again. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I thought we might talk about warfare today. And we start off with a question. How many of you enjoy warfare? I don't see any hands. That's good. I don't enjoy it either. How many of you believe we can get by in our spiritual life without warfare? No, we're not going to. We don't want to fight. But you know what? We're going to have to fight. I remember Sister Janet saying very clearly, I'm a woman. I don't go to war. Not us women. We don't do that. But you know what? Let the devil touch one of your little ones. Daughter, granddaughter, grandson. Let the devil go after that. And oh, I tell you, you may be a woman, but you're ready to fight. Just like an old mother bear that somebody touches one of her cubs, and boy, she's ready to fight. She's ready to do anything. So let's look at what this warfare is all about. And we'll look, start in verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, the old mother bear, totally flesh, nothing but flesh, nothing but growling and biting and what have you. I mean, she'll just charge right in. Doesn't matter. That's flesh. And too many times we grew up in the flesh and we want to go after the flesh. Somebody crosses us, what happens? Our anger rises up. We're going to fix it. We're going to take care of it. We've got natural methods and ways, and boy, are we going to take care of things. But you know, that's not the thing that's come against us has not really been a natural thing. The enemy, the Satan, the enemy, he hates everything that God does. He hates the order of God. He hates us. He hates the blood of Jesus. He does everything he can to prevent you from becoming a believer. He's going to give you every kind of lie. He's going to give you every kind of carnal pleasure he can to try to distract you away from the kingdom of God. He's going to just every trick, every wile that he has, he's going to throw at you. And if you get saved anyway, he's going to try everything he can to prevent you from coming into the fullness of what you can be in the kingdom of God. All right, that's there it is, bottom line. And he won't quit, amen, until he is defeated. And he is going to be defeated, and we can have a part in bringing his kingdom down. Now, let's just see. For though we walk in the flesh, now there's nothing we can do about that. We're going to walk in the flesh until we die in the flesh and are taken into the spirit of the heavenly kingdom. So while we walk, that applies to every one of us that are here. We are walking in the flesh, okay? But our weapons of warfare are not in the flesh. They are not in the carnal realm, okay? But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, what this is telling us is that there are weapons that if we are immature, we're unaware of them. We think we've grown up believing that we tackle it in the natural way. That's the way we've solved our problems. But there are spiritual weapons that we have to learn to use if we are going to come into sonship. Amen. What are they? It says they are mighty. In other words, there's something greater than we can come up with in the natural flesh. In other words, something greater than can be accomplished by our arguments. Something greater that can be accomplished by our trying to get angry and intimidating the other guy. We think we can force him, intimidate him, threaten him. There's something much greater than that. Amen. And the purpose of that is, it says, pulling down strongholds. Can anybody tell me what a stronghold is? Whatever it is, we're intended to pull it down. What's a stronghold, Mike?
Something that's got a good hold on you, whatever it might be.
Okay. Now, a city that's built with a great big thick heavy wall, the masons put it together real thick and real good. Would that be in the natural? Would that be a stronghold? Yeah, I believe it would. Now, spiritually, there are things that are like that. There are spiritual things that have been built up in our mind, in our thinking, in our emotions, that are just as strong as the thing that a mason can build around a city. All right? And what is the purpose of building such a stronghold? To prevent what? Yeah. By the way, feel free to speak here if you feel to do so. Yeah, they are to prevent whatever enemy would come in. Now, if Satan builds a stronghold, what is he trying to prevent coming in? Demons? Oh no, he wants all the demons to come in. But to prevent the Spirit of God from coming into the man, you know, as I'm speaking here, I can't help but thinking of the term man soul. Why am I thinking of that term? It's that guy that wrote Pilgrim's Progress, isn't it? John Bunyan? Didn't he write another book? And what was the name of the other book? It had something to do with man soul. He called the city man soul. And I think he said, my goodness, just coming to me now. He said that there were several gates to the city of Mansoul, the eye gate, the ear gate, the mouth gate, I guess there was, the feeling, this type of thing. There are gates that prevent the enemy from coming in. And the enemy then would seek to assault any of these gates. What would he try to do with the eye gate, for instance? Get into the eye gate to corrupt the city of man's soul. Yeah, in other words, he would present him with lustful things. Pornographic type of things. Why? To stir up his imagination, to stir up his thoughts, to tempt him for things, the nose gate, for instance, things that you smell. How would the enemy use that? You know, it's just coming to me right now. I remember the story. I remember the testimony of a man of God. He was an evangelist, And before the Lord got a hold of him, he was a drinker. Oh my. He loved to be in the saloon, in the bar, or whatever you want to call it. He loved the fellowship that he got in there. He loved the conversation. He loved the taste of liquor, and it might have been beer, but it might have been stronger stuff. He loved the smell of the place. I don't know if you've ever been in any of those places, but there's a smell. There's a smell in there. I don't know what it is. They spill beer all over the place. I don't know what they do to make that smell. But everything involved in that was part of his soul. It was part of the pleasure that he had. And I remember him telling in his, I think I heard this in person. I don't know who this guy was, and I don't think I'm supposed to remember. I remember him telling that after he got the victory, now he thought he had a victory over all this, that he was never going to be tempted again by this. But he was driving through, I'll call it the seedy part of one of the cities. Do you know what I mean by the seedy part? The part that's broken down, poor neighborhood, things broken, you know. And he came to an intersection, and at that very corner of the intersection, his windows were open, and he had to stop. There was a stoplight there, and he had to stop, and his windows were open. And the doors were open to the saloon, and he could hear the music in there, the honky tonk music, you know, and the smells of that bar coming into his windows. And the poor guy said that he had all he could do to not want to go in there again like he used to, and partake, give me a beer, you know, and you know, the addictions that he had in there, the women, you know, the kind of women that hang around places like that. He said he all he could do to break free of that and go on. And you know, the funny thing is, the man came to realize, even though he had forcibly quit, he wasn't delivered from the spirit of it. That spirit was still there. All he needed was the music and the smell and everything else. He still wanted it. And he had to go on and really seek the Lord to get those spirits, those demons out of his soul. And then he was completely free. He could walk in there just like he was walking into the Sears Roebuck store in the mall, and it wouldn't do a thing to him. Now, we're talking about spiritual warfare, okay? Now, it says pulling down strongholds. All right, the next verse says casting down. Now, pulling down and casting down is probably the same thing. You either pull it down or you throw it down. At any rate, it's going down, okay? Casting down imaginations. Spiritually, what is this word imaginations? Where do the imaginations live in the man?
Their mind.
In the mind. Yeah. In the imagination of the mind, the pictures of the mind. This takes me back to Brother Ezekiel, and I believe it's chapter 8. And the Lord told the prophet to dig. He showed him the house. It was the house of the human soul, and told him to dig down into the wall. And he found a hole in the wall. And what he found in that hole were the imaginations that were going on in the minds of the elders of the church. Okay? And they were wicked things that these men were thinking about. They were projected all around on the wall, on the inside of the wall. And what the Lord showed him is, this is what I see. When I look at the man, when I look at his temple, I can see these things that he's thinking about. And the thing that he's thinking about is probably the thing that he's been feeding on, okay? Images of the mind, imagination. That's where the word imagination comes from. Casting down imaginations. Now, the definition here says arguments, okay? Imaginations create arguments. If I were to confront you about what you might be thinking about, you would probably give me a pretty good argument. Oh, no, Brother Mark, no, that isn't why I said that. I said that because, well, we all do it, don't we? We defend our imaginations. So imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, why are they high things? Why are they called high things? Give me a clue here.
Because they're in a realm higher than this carnal earth.
There we go, Brother Bank. Thank you. Oh, that's the best definition I can get. Every high thing, and if they're higher than our natural, they want to exalt themselves above the Lord. So Satan's game is exalting himself above God. What does it say? Is it in Isaiah 14? Is it that he said, I will exalt myself above the throne of God? Okay? Exalts itself, so he wants to get our imaginations up there too, exalting himself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity. All right, now what we're doing in casting down these imaginations is we are bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now we're talking about warfare. Do we ever find ourselves doing that? Do we ever find our mind wandering? What was the mind in the human soul? The mind was what? The ego. So the mind is flying off here and there. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer it. But as you're sitting in these meetings sometimes, listening to the word, how many times has it happened that the enemy flew in some thought and your mind started going somewhere and you were thinking about something you're going to do tomorrow, something you did yesterday, and then another thought begins to follow, and the first thing you know, you're thinking of something that you shouldn't be thinking about? So what do you do? Do you rebuke the thought? Well, yeah. Yeah, I've done it. Oh, my goodness. How did my mind get over here? Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I cast you down. I cast that imagination down. I will not go there. I'm going to the kingdom of God. Let the Spirit of God now have control over these things. So bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that what the Word of God is saying is the warfare starts in your mind. You have to control your thoughts. You have to bring it into obedience, having in readiness to revenge. Oh, that's a pretty strong word. That would imply punishing the thoughts, rebuking them. Revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So what we're talking about is not just random thoughts. Well, I can't control them. They go wherever they want to go. You know, yes, the devil is always suggesting things. He's always trying to throw your mind off this way and that way. But, Lord, I want to obey. I want to put my thoughts in obedience to you. All right, obedience. Will you obey? All right, let's go somewhere else. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. You thought we'd go there, didn't you?
Mark, before you go on.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was taught years and years ago, it's not our thoughts, but what we do with them. And I see what you're saying, that is wrong.
That is what?
Wrong. That's not right. That we can't control our thoughts, but you're saying we can.
Well, doesn't what do you think this says here in Second Corinthians?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But I mean, even within the church, that's what they're teaching.
Well, I'm going by the Word of God, and if the Word of God is different what the church teaches, then we have to line up with the Word of God.
I agree. I'm just saying that's.
And you see, this teaching allowed us to wander off in places we shouldn't be going. Got us into a lot of trouble, didn't it, Howard?
There's an old saying that you can't keep a bird from flying over you, but you can keep him from nesting in your hair.
Yes. And dropping his droppings on you too. All right, so I'm fighting off the birds. All right, when I see one of these demonic birds coming, I fight him off. And you know, we're going to talk about weapons here too. The best weapon is the blood of Jesus. Those birds don't like to hear about that. Just start praising God. My goodness, we're waiting for the meeting to start here, and Rita's tuning up, well, not tuning up, Rita's working up the piano, working up some songs. We must have been going on here for a good half hour with her playing. I thought, oh my goodness, the anointing just came into the room of praise. And you know what? When the anointing comes in, demons don't like to be there. They don't like to hear it. Out of here. All right, Ephesians, talking about some of the weapons. Ephesians chapter 6, and go down to verse 10. I know the whole chapter is good, but let's finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong. Now that's a commandment. I don't feel strong. Well, the word says be strong. In other words, it isn't what I feel. My goodness, I don't feel strong most of the time at my age. But I have to agree with the word of the Lord. Is the word of the Lord says be strong, whether you feel that way or not. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Power. No, I didn't look that up. Is that exousia? It's probably both. Both exousia and dunamis. Probably is both. Anyway, put on the whole armor of God. See, now God has given you provision to protect you. Not only to protect you, but to take on aggressive warfare. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What is wiles? What does wiles mean? The wiles.
Tactic.
Cunning, trickery, schemes. Now, that's what Kevin was talking about this morning. They came to his door with wiles, schemes, tricks, plans, collecting information. What are they going to do with that? They're going to try to rob him. So the same thing that men do, they're motivated by Satan, and they have Satan's methods of doing it. The wiles of the devil. So put on the armor of God, and you won't fall for the wiles of the devil. Here again, he's saying the same thing that was said in Corinthians. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The flesh and blood is what? It's the other people. The people that come to your door. The people that would like to come to your door. The people that try to get in through the telephone. The people that try to get in through the laptop. In other words, they're coming against the ear gate, the eye gate, the smell gate. They're trying to break in any way they can. People are doing what the devil tries to do. Same track tactics, okay? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Now that verse, my goodness, we could spend a long time on that verse. You're not just coming against the simple little devils, the simple little alcohol harlotry devils. We're not coming against that. It's the big guys that are really after us, that are controlling the whole system. Principalities. The principality, okay? Now, we're not talking about the natural man. The natural principality here in America would be the president, I suppose, okay? But there's something behind him that's even higher, that's pulling the strings. Pulling the political strings that we can't see. There's one pulling it over the whole country, pulling it over a whole region, pulling it over a whole continent. Amen? Pulling it upon the whole region. You know, there's a different principality over Iran than there is over Canada. It is. It's the spirit of Islam. Amen. And the devil, principalities, powers, all right, this is the natural forces, the police, the delegated authority, the judges, what have you, okay? The rulers, this is the word is cosmocrator, which is the world rulers, okay? This is what we're really up against, okay? Wherefore is the same thing as therefore. Okay? Take unto you the whole armor of God. God has given you a means of protection, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Amen. Let's talk about a different environment. Cody, my man. There we go. You go to school, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you think there's any warfare of the mind going on in school?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that any of the teachers are trying to teach things that you don't believe?
Yeah, most of the time. Mostly in, like, U.S. history.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah? Are they pushing that... what do they call it? What's the agenda? No, not AI, the transgender thing. Do
Yeah.
they push that too in school?
They don't seem to really care about it anymore. They just seem to let people do whatever they want. They let them like identify as they, them, he, she, just anything at this point.
In other words, anything goes.
Yeah.
No real standards. Just whatever you want to do, do your own thing, huh?
Yeah.
So
So
you're
are they
facing
still
what?
pushing evolution?
What was the last?
Cody, are they still teaching evolution pretty strong? Did you say evolution?
Evolution? Yeah.
Yeah, they still teach that.
Yeah, in other words, we all came from a big bang about 100 million years ago, and we gradually evolved into a human being. Isn't
Yeah.
that amazing? Your ancestors were monkeys or something like that, you know? What a lie. You know why they believe that? Because they don't want to acknowledge that God is the creator of all things. And if they acknowledge that he is God, they're going to have to obey him, and they don't want to do that. Thank you, Cody. Sorry to embarrass you, buddy. Okay. Yeah, no, I know that you're in warfare wherever you are. And I think especially the schools are trying to bend the mind of young people and get them to think. You know, I'm beginning to think that probably one of the worst things that a young person can happen to them is to go to college. Secular college. And you know what? I don't even trust the Christian colleges anymore. The Christian colleges are getting worse. And seminary is probably the worst thing of all that can happen to a Christian young person to prepare for ministry. They're teaching more lies than the devil. All right, let's go on. We're talking about warfare. Come on, so I can say some of these things today. Now, let me go on. The whole armor of God, okay? Stand therefore. In other words, put this on so that you can stand, it says, in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I remember there were times that we were in warfare, and I tell you what, we did everything we could possibly think of. And we even had warfare that involved people going to court, trying to do this and trying to do that against us. And we come to the point where we said, Lord, we've done all we can do. I don't know anything else. Well, then what can you do next? Now you stand. Now it's in God's hands, and let's see what he will do. And I remember this one time, the day before, might have been the morning before we went to court. We had to go to court up in Glens Falls. Somebody evil had brought some evil things against our granddaughter. And the word of the Lord came to Janet, and she said, the Lord said to her, their defense is departed from them. And we got into court, we discovered exactly that. They had no defense. The Lord had completely taken it away from them, having done all. So, okay, Lord, we've done it all. Now we're standing, we're going to believe you're sending us now to court. Let's see what's going to happen. And their thing had completely collapsed on them. All right, let me go on. Stand therefore, having your loins gird. What are your loins? It's below your belt, what you're wearing. Keep your pants up and everything like that. Having the abdomen part of you, the belly, okay? Girt with truth. Now, if you don't know the truth, you're going to fall for anything. That is why we preach so vigorously to trust the Word of God. When the Mormons come to your door, do you have the truth? Because they're going to bring you something that is not the truth. They're going to try to tell you something in the Word of God. No, 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 no. They got it wrong. Mormons came to my door only one time that I recall since we're here. You know what I said to them? I said, how can you come here preaching that you have the Word of God when your foundation was totally wrong? You building on something that is a wrong foundation. Well, what do you mean? I said, you guys preached polygamy by your founders. Your Brigham Young and what was the other guy? Come on, who?
Joseph Smith.
Joseph Smith, yeah. Joseph Smith had, what was it, 23 wives? Brigham Young had, what, 16? I said, do you still preach that? You still believe that? Well, yeah, there's a bunch of Mormons that do, but not us. We don't believe that. Yeah, but I said, your foundation was wrong. The United States government was not going to allow Utah to become a state as long as you allowed that in the state of Utah. The foundation was wrong. Therefore, tear the whole thing down and start all over with the kingdom of God and get it right in the Bible. The devil that brought that word, that fallen angel that brought that word to Joseph Smith was totally wrong. There's nothing. If the foundation is wrong, the house is wrong. If the foundation is going to fall apart, the house will fall apart. Oh, well, he made a mistake. Oh, come on. God does not make mistakes in building his house. He does not ever make mistakes. The Word of God is true. You got it wrong. If you don't know the truth. So, first of all, bind the word of truth on you, all right? Having the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers the what? The heart. The heart, the emotions, the feelings, the true man of the soul is the heart, the very core of your being. Cover that with righteousness. If you cover it with anything else, it's unrighteousness. By the way, if you don't know the book of Genesis, you don't know the truth. If you don't know that God made them male and female, you'll buy the line. Well, maybe he made a mistake. No, come on. God created your DNA when the seed of the man and the seed of the woman came together and began to create a human being. God was involved in every step of that DNA. He didn't make a mistake. You see? God made order. He made the man to take the leadership. He made the woman to be a helper for him. Together, they work together. Two of you agree upon anything, it shall be done. The man and the woman working together in God, nothing can defeat them. Amen? And what does Satan try to tear down? The order of God. Go back to the order. The order was set in the book of Genesis. And these modern churches are saying, oh, well, you know, I'm not sure that we trust everything in Genesis. You know, it's probably just oral history and they got something wrong. No, they didn't get anything wrong. When Moses wrote that and the Hebrew scholars copied that from generation to generation, they got it right. Scholar make one mistake, he throw the whole paper out and start over. Man had to check him over to make sure he got it right. Come on, God sent them out two by two so that they did not make any mistakes in the missionary work. Two by two, at least two. Take four if you can. Paul had four of them out there with him. Hallelujah. All right, let's go on. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What's the thing about the feet? What do the feet do? They carry the message. Hallelujah. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Put that shield up there. Nothing's going to get through that shield of faith. I believe, thus saith the Lord, I believe the word of the Lord, that is my faith. I will not waver in what I believe. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What the word darts are, if it were translated properly into English, it would be the missiles. The missiles. Arrows, fiery darts, but fiery. See, they're spiritual. You know, the biggest thing they're fighting in warfare now is drones. Fiery missiles. I mean, these drones that are coming from Ukraine are so bad that Russia can't figure out how to stop them. And they're reaching further and further into the old homeland of Russia. It is very devastating. I'm not speaking politics now. I'm just speaking what's happening. The enemy cannot get through if you're holding up the shield of faith. His drones can't get through. Amen? All right. Spiritual drones. Oh, yes, they're loaded. They're just loaded with trash. Trying to get through the ear gate, the eye gate again. Trying to break through. All right. And take the helmet of salvation. Well, that's the whole thing to start off with. You start off with salvation. The helmet. The helmet is the mind. Amen. What was the mind on the four beasts?
Eagle.
The eagle. The thing that wants to go flying off here and there. Keep that helmet on. Keep focused on the salvation. Amen. And the sword of the Spirit. Now, everything up until this point was to protect yourself. Defend yourself. Defend yourself. Amen. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, when we go to the sword, yes, it is defensive, but it's also offensive. We're taking the Word of God and we're saying, thus saith the Lord. What was the weapon that Jesus used when Satan took him out in the desert and tried to tempt him? What weapon did Jesus use? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Yeah. All right. Now let's go to Timothy. Just one good little verse here in Timothy.
What?
Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
You got to keep going. There's still another weapon.
Oh, did I miss one? Oh, yes, praying. Thank you, Larry. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. How do you pray? Believing. You were going to say something more, Larry?
Well, just that, you know, we have to be mindful how powerful our prayers are, and that just like any of these weapons, you know, they're given of God, and they communicate with God, And really, by prayer, you put the onus back on God to protect you and keep you and guide you. So it's not only prayer and supplication in spirit, but watching. So Jesus said to always to pray and watch. So again, we have to be mindful of watching out for the deception that's coming our way.
You know, I've, over the course of years and travel all over the place, a young man, I've been a member of quite a number of churches, Christian Missionary Alliance, Nazarene, what have you. And I remember they used to have prayer meetings. And we'd get together and we'd pray. But you know, the funny thing is the Word of God says, watch and pray. I never heard a watch meeting announced. Did any of you? Well, what are we going to do in a watch meeting? Well, we're going to watch. No, I don't think they've discovered the watch meetings yet. I'm not sure what they are either. I think we can watch anytime, can't we? Watch and pray. Yeah, okay, Timothy. Brother Timothy. 1 Timothy 1:18. This is the advice of Paul to his son Timothy. And he says, this charge I commit unto you, unto thee, son Timothy, spiritual son. Paul brought him up in the Word of God. Paul took him on the missionary journeys. Paul taught him the things that he needed to learn. I charge thee, this I charge, commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee. So there was a prophetic word given to Timothy also, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Amen. That thou mightest, let me read it, thou mightest war. In other words, that he's telling Timothy, look, Timothy, as a minister of the gospel, you're going to have to be prepared to do warfare. You're going to do some fighting. Okay? Put it in your mind. It's going to happen. You're going to be a fighter. You're going to be attacked. They're going to try to throw you down. Now listen to this. Now, let's read the next verse. Holding faith and good conscience. You have a good conscience? You have a good conscience if you've been walking in righteousness. Having faith, we were told to have the shield of faith, and good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. They were already making shipwreck of their lives back in the days of Paul. He named the fellow. He named the fellow, right? Of whom is Hymenaeus. Don't listen to him. Hymenaeus, he's made shipwreck. Amen. His life is a wreck. I mean, his marriage is broken up, his relationship with others, his business has failed. He's made a shipwreck, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Wow. I don't know that I've ever gone that far, turning somebody over to Satan. This fellow must have been pretty bad. In the New Testament church, already in the days of the apostles, my goodness, what did some of these men do after the apostles died? This fellow Irenaeus, I think it was Irenaeus, is on his way to Rome. He's going to be executed. But on the way, he's writing letters and visiting the churches, telling them that there is no priesthood of believers, that they can't do anything unless the bishop is there. He's telling this to all the churches and the apostles. And by the way, the man was taught by the apostle John. And he's already making shipwreck of the churches, if he can, on his way to Rome. My goodness. All right, Jeremiah, the first chapter. Let me find Jeremiah. Jeremiah. First chapter, verse 10. But let's read a few verses before that, and this is the calling that he has of the Lord. And starting in verse 6, in verse 5, what did I just say about God forming your DNA? He said, therefore, before I formed thee in the belly, in the womb, before I formed thee, not evolution, not random evolution, I was in charge. I was in charge of you, Jeremiah. I was in charge of you, Connie. Isn't that what you said? I chose the way you were going to look, the way you were going to hear, everything. Yeah, okay. I formed thee in the belly. I knew thee before thou camest forth out of the womb. Yeah, I didn't think fetuses knew anything. But God says, I knew you before you were even aware of my knowing you. I knew you. My goodness, think about that. I don't remember anything in the womb, do you? Nothing I remember. My goodness. I sanctified thee. What's that mean, sanctified? It means I set you apart. If you have a calling, God decided that calling, whatever that calling was, he made it, he decided, oh, all right. Here's Brother Opie. He's in the womb, he hasn't been born yet. But here's the way I'm going to make him, all right? And here's the way I'm going to call him. As soon as he gets to the age where he can hear the call, this is what he's going to have, all right? I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Well, I don't think that's been my call yet, but it could be anyway. Okay, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child, considers himself a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Why did he say, be not afraid of their faces? Because there's people that aren't going to like what you say, and they're going to come against your face, and boy, what are you going to see? You are going to see anger. You are going to see on their face a desire to kill you, to annihilate you, to cut your head off. You'll see it on their face. Don't be afraid of it. All right? Then the Lord shall put his hand And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. He touched the mouth gate. Okay? And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, other kingdoms, not the kingdom of God, worldly kingdoms. How many kingdoms are there out there? Well, we hear of these wars, we see of kingdoms, little kingdoms, big kingdoms. God is in charge of all of them. Amen. Over kingdoms, now listen to this. To root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. In other words, what's there that was built of Satan has to be torn down, rooted out, thrown down, annihilated. Now that Satan's kingdom is out of the way, now we can start building the kingdom of God. So how would you like to hear that calling, if that was the word that was to be given to you? What do you think, Larry? You ready to go down and tear down and pull down and destroy? And that's kind of an aggressive ministry, isn't it? All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Started in 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Bible doesn't just fall open to that automatically, you know. Yeah, we're getting there. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Did you ever find that true? Are you nodding your head, Larry?
Yep. You cannot talk to someone that's natural man about the things of God. Scripture clearly says that they know not the things of the Spirit. Well, they don't receive the things of the Spirit, neither can they know them, for they're spiritually discerned. So there's not even a possibility that they know anything of the things of God, which, of course, is the cross.
Okay. So let me read it again now. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. What kind of foolish babble are you talking about, brother? Amen. But to us, which are saved, it is the power of God. We're preaching the cross. When we say we're preaching the cross, what does that mean? Now, history would say, okay, yeah, there was a guy crucified there a couple thousand years ago. Big deal. You know, a lot of people got crucified in those days. So that's foolishness. But to us, it was the bleeding and the blood that was shed and the suffering for our sake that was done by the perfect Lamb of God that eliminates our sins and makes our conscience clear that we have an open door with God. We can come before him in clean garments, not our own righteousness. That's the preaching of the cross in Paul, short version.
Paul said that the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. The cross is the power of God that brings about salvation.
So let me read on. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Amen. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? We get a lot of news on our phone these days, and every time I see a little article that says, scientists now say, scientists now believe, I thought, oh boy, what kind of new lie are we going to read now? Scientists now believe the mystery of the way the world was made. We've just discovered a new, oh my goodness, all these PhDs and all this wisdom that they've been working up, they haven't figured anything out. But they have an article now that they can write. Scientists now believe thus and thus. Okay. It says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Scientists haven't discovered the truth of God yet. Amen. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Oh my. I've got too much. We're going to have to do it. I wanted to go through all that warfare from Revelation 12. And I can read it, but we don't have time to go through. Let me go back to Deuteronomy. And we're talking about warfare. We'll do that the next time. We'll do Revelation 12. That whole chapter is warfare. Amen. Let me go to Deuteronomy. And the first Deuteronomy, is the summary that God gave Moses, kind of summarizing all the wandering in the wilderness and the miracles of God and everything else. So they've come now in the book of Deuteronomy, they've come to the edge of the promised land. They've come to the plains of Moab. And these are the last words that Moses is going to speak to the people. And he's writing them down. So come to the second chapter of Deuteronomy. In Europe, they call it Second Moses. Second chapter. And it's a summary of their wanderings. They're coming to the end, verse 24 and 25. Now, I'll read 23. I'll go back to read 22 even. Oh my goodness, I'm going to go back further. Oh, maybe 18. Thou art to pass over through Ar, the coast of Moab, this day. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them. In other words, he's saying you're still with these people, you're not to take up offensive warfare. Leave them alone. For I will not give thee the land of the children of Ammon. Ammon is, one of the sons of Job. God is going to give them a certain little heritage in Moab. They're going to have their own little heritage there, okay? I will not give thee the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. That also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in old time, and the Ammonites called them the Zamzummims, a people great and many and tall as the Anakins. But the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. as he did to the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horims from before them. And they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead even unto this day. So you see these other relatives of Abraham, Lot's people, yes, God gave them at one time, he gave them a heritage. Now, he says in verse 23, and the Avims, I wrote the perverters, I think that's what it means, the perverters, which dwelt in Hazarim, even unto Azah, the Kaphtorims, which came forth out of Kaphtor, destroyed them and dwelt in their stead. Now, okay, this is a little history. Okay, rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thy hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Hebshan, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. Now let's see what some of these Hebshan, reckoning account. Okay. Sihon, tempestuous. He's a fiery, angry fellow. The Amorite, pride. In other words, they're going to possess. Rise up now. It's time to start taking over some of these spirits. Rise up, brethren. It's time to take over the spirit, that quick anger spirit that wants to rise up in us. Time to put that thing under control. Time to control your emotions. Somebody says something you don't like. No, time to start putting that under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So, we're going to quit fighting a defensive weapon, and we're going to start fighting offensively. No more defensive, we're going on the offense. Go after some of those spirits that have troubled you. If it's a spirit of lust, go after it. Tell that thing it isn't going to have any place in your mind anymore. Okay? This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven. Now, in other words, it's going to be the work of God. It's going to be the power of God that you're going to be able to overcome. Oh, I know there are people who have overcome some things by the sheer power of their will. I've known people that have done, they didn't do it by the power of God, but somehow they got through. No, we're not talking about that. I will put the fear and the dread of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. Now, when the two spies went to Jericho, what did they discover? What did Rahab tell them? Do you remember the word that Rahab told them?
The fear was on the people because of all that the Lord had done on behalf of the Israelites.
Okay. We are afraid. We have heard about. How long had they been hearing about these Israelites that were wandering around in the desert? What had they heard about? They heard about the crossing of the Red Sea. They heard about what happened to Pharaoh and his army, to the Egyptians. They heard about it. And for 40 years, well, after 40 years, you know, that's not headline news anymore. Hey, man, that happened way back under Roosevelt. We don't care about that stuff. No, God put the fear, and he kept the fear before all these people. The word was they're wandering around there in the desert, but they're coming this way. We heard that they had an opportunity to come through at Kadesh Barnea. They backed off. They didn't come. Well, how long do we have now before this army comes against us? I'd like the world to still have a fear of us that we're going to come and we're going to tear down their kingdoms. We're going to break up their political power. We're going to root out, amen, their wickedness. And there's a people that are waiting to get that unction to do it, and it's going to happen. But they're making plans for their new world order, aren't they? Oh yeah, let's get together in Switzerland. Let's make some new rules for. We're going to have to tell people they're going to have to start thinking differently. We're going to have to get the education department into the schools to start giving different attitudes and different thoughts to the Christian people that are there. We can't let them get away. You know that you can't have a homeschool program in Germany? They won't allow it. We are fortunate here in America that we can do that. So, amen. Rise up. There's coming a day. This day, God said, will I put the fear. I'm waiting for that word. I'm waiting for that word in our generation. That word came in the days of Joshua and Moses. Go out, Joshua. Don't be afraid to go to Jericho. They're already afraid of you. They don't know it yet, but they really are. And Rahab figured it out. She'd heard all the gossip. She'd, oh, here they are. They're marching around us now. What's going to happen to us now? And she made the decision. She said, I want to be part of this. These are my people. I'm going to join them if I can. And my whole family's coming with me. Amen. Well, I think we've gone far enough today. Let me, I've got a lot more to say from Revelation 12, but we'll do that another day. Amen. All right. Let me turn the recording off.